the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
And we're rolling.
And we're off to the races.
What's going on, buddy?
This is a very self-indulgent thing, but I'm angry that when I search for my own name on Twitter, not my handle, but like I'll search my last name because I'm a psycho. Uh-huh. But yeah. There's a Irish horse jockey. I don't know if there's other kind of jockeys. Legitimate ones, not racist, yeah. Not racist term uh-huh. ones. Yeah. Just literal ones. That has my last name and horse racing Twitter, huge.
Really?
That people jawn off about horse racing on Twitter. I think Twitter is now basically like what Facebook, it's just old people.
Huh?
It's just old people bitching, you know?
Yeah.
I gotta get off there, man. I'm getting in fights.
You getting some trouble again this week? What are you doing?
Yeah, I think I may have lost us a fan, so I apologize. Uh-oh. Dave. Our numbers might be down. But, well, don't go searching for this individual in like that's the worst thing. Like if you want to argue with somebody on Twitter and then people jump in, like I'll be on your side. Like I don't want your help.
Yeah,
I'm making my own calculated attack, and you're just coming in there. Swinging punches and pissing on stuff. Like, no, I don't need your assistance with what I'm trying to do. You know, yeah. I'm having a volley back and forth with one individual and somebody else comes in like, yeah, let's burn it down. Like, no. Mm-hmm. But some dude's like, man, because I talk about eating the impossible meat and everything. And I just get a tweet like, Kyle, man, don't be putting that Bill Gates food in you, man. It's bad for you. Check it out. And it was just a retweet. So this guy sent me a tweet from an account that's a week old. It's always trustworthy when there's a Twitter account that's a week old that has the Punisher logo as the avatar that just says Impossible Meat. Who are the biggest investors? Bill Gates and whichever fucking guy you want to put at the top of the conspiracy pyramid. I forget which one. Mm-hmm. But that was it. There was no facts. It was just like, check it out, man. Guess who's investing in Impossible Meat? Bill Gates. And he wants to control the population. And so I'm just like, man, don't. I was offended. Because I'm like, do you really think I'm just that dumb? Like, you could just alley-oop a rumor over to me and be like, watch yourself. Come on, man.
Or maybe he's just a savvy investor who makes a lot of money off investing in innovative ideas.
Well, this is why I got into it with this guy. I'm like, sure, man, I'm going to take insight, like I said, from a week old Twitter account with a Punisher logo and whose followers are all. This is what I'm saying. Just do two more fucking clicks on anything you want to get angry about. Just do two more fucking clicks. That's all. I'm not saying go crack open dusty old, volumes of ancient law books or whatever. Two more clicks. Give it two fucking clicks.
Yeah.
To see if what, and that's why I got unhinged. Because this is the whole spread of misinformation and spread of just paranoid bullshit that now everybody's a conspiracy theorist. Nobody wants to believe in science. Everybody's anti-vax, flat earth, fucking morons. Do two more clicks.
Yeah.
And this guy got mad at me because I was offended. I'm like, I'm not a fucking idiot, so I'm sorry, but don't send me this bullshit. And I went back and forth with him just being like, what? Like, I was mad that somebody thought I would, like, just be like, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, shit. Punisher logo? Says that he's like, well, man, do the research yourself. No, fuck you. If you want me to believe something, come at me with facts. Don't just say, hey, the earth is flat. Go find out for yourself. You go fuck yourself. How about that? That's what you can do. Don't go tell. Oh, I'm just turning into like an AM radio host right now. I'm sorry,
I'm
Dave.
Not going to stop you. Let it rip, buddy.
It just pissed me off so much. Because then the guy's like, well, there's plenty of research done on it. Then why would the first thing you use is a Punisher logo Twitter account? If you want to convince somebody of something, why not go, hey, here's an in-depth article written from a well-researched standpoint. Because I'd like you to believe in this thing that I think is facts. No, here's somebody that just showed up a week ago filled with conspiracy theories and don't tread on me stickers all over their page. And then you have the nerve to get mad at me because I'm offended. He's like, well, man, you just made my favorite comedian just made me feel like a jerk just because I wanted to share some information. Good. You are a jerk. How about that? Just because you like what I do doesn't mean all of a sudden you can dangle your fucking fandom in front of me like, oh, my God, I heard a fan. Actually, I'm upset that I attracted someone as dumb as that with my comedy. I want to know, what did I do wrong in my comedy that brought that guy to my Twitter account? And, oh, I just wanted to share information. It wasn't information. That was the whole problem I had. You are spreading rumors as if they are facts. And that's the problem with everything. Even us, we sit here and we talk about our bullshit, Dave, and we laugh at it because we know a lot of it's silly and we have fun. But when you sit there like, man, don't watch out. Fine, dude. Guess what? Bill Gates, what did he say? He wants to decrease population. No, he wants to decrease population growth. Do you understand the difference between decreasing the population? There's just five people in this room, and I'm going to kill three of them. Decreasing population growth is that there's five people in this room, and if two of you guys fuck and have a kid, there's going to be six people. And if two more you fuck, now there's going to be seven. There's not enough room in this room to have those people. So guess what's here? You know what's here? Birth control. Here's, like he was saying, because that was the other conspiracy theory that everybody wants to go nuts about, is that Bill Gates, he's talking about the food will help, will decrease population growth with food, because they think he's going to poison everybody with food. No, what they mean is that when you have an impoverished area, African country, where people are having 10 kids because they think that maybe only two of them are going to survive, that's why they have 10 kids. And then maybe they fucking more of them survive than they expected, but they don't have the food to feed those kids. Guess what? If you have enough food to feed two kids and a nice family, and there's enough food where, like, oh, we don't have to churn out 10 kids because most of them are going to die because we have food sources to support a smaller, more effective family. That's what they mean by that. Stop being fucking idiots and do two fucking clicks and read just a little bit. Just, it's like people that have a scratch-off ticket and they scratch off one number and they're like, I won. No, you fucking idiot. You got to scratch off all the numbers to find out if you won or not. Match the winning number. Three, okay, I scratched off one. I don't know where this metaphor is going, but you know what I mean.
I got you.
Oh, God damn it. That dude pissed me off, and it pisses me off more when somebody's like, oh, my favorite comedian. Listen, I'm glad you like my comedy. Tell me what I did to make you think I would follow this trail, this shit smear into I was pissed, dude. I was pissed. Too much free time, and I gotta get off Twitter, man. I gotta get off Twitter. It's not good. It's just makes me mad. The ignorance has taken it over. It's like Facebook. I easily got like, don't look at Facebook. And now Twitter's become the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Hot start to the cast. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right, buddy. My version of that is you're talking about you engage with someone and then everybody else comes to your aid, even though you don't need it. I do a similar thing, but I do it silently. I just hide in the bushes and then I defend my buddies. And what I mean is one of my little fun habits is I'm on YouTube a lot, and I love just going down rabbit holes on YouTube. And every now and then I'll come across a stand-up video from one of my buddies, whether it be you or any number of my other really funny buddies. And I can't help but take a peek at some of those comments. And so that's where I come in. If you're going to talk, I don't mind people having an opinion. Oh, this guy's not funny. Well, if that's your opinion, you're probably an idiot because he is funny. But so be it. It's our buddy Andy Sanford. Somebody on one of his videos, somebody accused him of stealing jokes. That old accusation. And boy, I crack my knuckles and roll up my sleeves when shit like that pops up in the comments. And then I'm happy to engage in that regard. Like, all right, oh, he's stealing joke. What joke did he steal? Who did he steal it from? You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Shut up. But, yeah, just, you know, you're going to talk some old bullshit on the YouTube comments of my buddies. You're going to hear from DG Stone 77.
That's the easiest troll move is to somebody like, this joke's stolen. Because they mm-hmm. know that gets, they know that get that, that'll get people.
Well, YouTube show your work, comments, idiot.
YouTube comments are another world. I'm like, I'm not even going to. Like,
yeah,
again, and my own mistake, like, why too such juvenile shit to be bothered,
yeah,
by the YouTube thing. Well, I sent you that. Somebody sent me this documentary, and I didn't take offense because somebody's like, hey, here's the thing to check out. Not like, oh, this is the truth, man. It's like, hey, you guys like conspiracy stuff? Here's conspiracy stuff. And it was, what was it, Out from the Shadows or some other completely generic name for a YouTube conspiracy movie. And so I looked up the link, and the first thing I did is I went to I just looked at the comments because I'm like, I'm not going to watch a movie on my phone. But let me go see what people are saying in the comments. They're like, 11 million views, man, and this isn't even trending on YouTube. This is because they don't want you to see it. I'm like,
yeah, that old trick.
How the fuck am I watching?
Watch it before it gets taken down.
I'm watching it right now. They don't want it trending. They don't want it because they don't want 11 million. It's more than that. Man, if this shit gets out, this is going to be the end. I'm like, oh, these people. Let me see what revelations people are coming to with this movie. And I watched it. And it's, oh, boy. I mean, I think I made it about 40 minutes into it.
What conspiracies are they talking about?
Oh, it is a fucking old country buffet of every. It's a 14-year-old goth kid's wet dream of conspiracy theories. It's said from the standpoint of two Hollywood stuntmen. Mm-hmm. One guy, and it was late last night, and I think I had a good belly laugh at the guy. Like, it was like he just said, like, hey, improv something about conspiracies. And this guy's like, man, the stuff I saw, you wouldn't believe it if I told you, and they don't want you to see it because it's unbelievable. But I saw it, and I was like, whoa, there's no way this is real. But it was, and you won't believe it. Like, is this an ad for a new ride at Six Flags? What the fuck? You just said nothing. You used 19 exclamation points to say nothing. You gave me a bread sandwich. There ain't no meat, baby. You gave me a fucking bread sandwich. That whole movie was a goddamn bread sandwich. Because the first guy, it starts, he was a stuntman, so he was privy to insider knowledge in Hollywood because he was a stuntman.
Oh, yeah.
And he was around all these celebrities, and he was, you know, but then he had an injury. And he had a bad injury, and he went to physical therapy. And his physical therapist said, you got negative energy. Can I pray for you? So once his physical therapist prayed for him, he began to see the light. He took the red pill because a physical therapist prayed for him. And he's like, I started looking up documents, man. Did you know? That, like, and it's all about, I mean, from what, before I, thank God my body shut down before I could consume more of this dog shit and I fell asleep on the couch. Like, man, did you know that the CIA is involved in Hollywood and that it's like propaganda? Yet, did you never see Bugs Bunny shooting down Japanese planes? Like, everybody knew this. Even non-conspiracy theorists are just like, Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean why is there military ads during sporting events? Why is there fucking all this Patriot fucking Yahoo troop shit during sport? Yeah, dude. It was like 101 conspiracy theory shit. But I read all these comments on YouTube where everybody's like, oh, man, this is going to blow the roof off things. If people really knew the truth, and the truth is like, oh, man, look at these movies that glorify soldiers and stuff. Like, yeah, man. Yeah, we all. And he's like, and then did you know that Operation Paperclip was the thing? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
Wernher von Braun, help us get to space. Yeah, dude, we all got this one. But the MK Ultra, like our own government, did experiments. Yeah, dude. Yes.
Yeah, is that shocking to you?
This was in the first issue of, Conspiracy for Dummies.
Yeah.
This is in the first chapter. Anyway. Oh, man. Hey, well, I hope the truth doesn't come out from the shadows or whatever this piece of shit was called. Because guess what? There's an ex-Hollywood stuntman who's about to, if he gets silenced, look out. Look out for
There's another one.
It's like a whistleblower in a sea of whistles. I'm bad with the words today. I'm sorry.
That's all right. There was another one floating around this week that everybody was talking about that I didn't watch. Plandemic. You hear about that one?
No, but I guess I can figure out what it's about from the title.
Mm-hmm.
Did Bill Gates do it? Is this all to stem population growth?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch it, but a lot of chatter about that one. I'm assuming it's about the conspiracy. It's a hoax that the virus is a hoax meant to make Trump look bad and get him out of office. So, because he needs help with that.
Yeah, that guy needs some assistance. It's to control the population. Why is it only killing old people and babies then? You want to stop population growth? You take out the most virile members of old people aren't having more kids.
Mm-hmm.
You take out the most virile members of the society if you want to do that. But no, it was made in a lab. It was all what I can't believe. Like conspiracy theories have gone so far the other way. I know the government's evil. They fucked this whole thing up. If anything, it's a plot to control finances. Oh, small businesses are closed. That I'll get behind that one. That it's a corporate move to be like, oh, now we buy, you're going to work from home. You're going to buy everything from online retailers. Amazon will continue to grow. That's the one that gets me is like, money doesn't vanish. Money's out there. So when people aren't working and the money's in trading hands, where's that money? That money is going somewhere. It's going to the richest people. Wealth inequality, very much so. Not a conspiracy, just facts. That's very real. So that's the one I'd get more creeped out about.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of layers to this.
What happened to the fun stuff? What happened to when we were fun, Dave?
I don't know, man. What else is going on, buddy? What else you been doing with your time this week?
I don't know. I went on a bike ride. It's getting a little bit repetitive.
That's all right.
You know, as I'm sure it is for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
We said this is a question I had. On Hey Girl for Matt Bronger and the guests that were on that. Uh-huh. I'll ask you this. What are you doing to stay sexy for the missus?
What am I doing to stay sexy for the missus?
Well, it's so easy to like kind of just let everything go.
Yeah.
Especially because it's like, well, somebody's already with me, so let's all become trash.
No, that's a good question, and that's a good point. The one thing I'm doing is I'm constantly throwing her new hairdos. I grew out, shaved my head a couple months ago, grew out a pretty gnarly mohawk.
I was going to ask how that hawk was doing.
It was doing good. I had some nice growth up there, really trying to tap into my road warrior animal vibe, old wrestling reference there. True. I shaved it back down. I shaved it back down the other day. So now I've got the only thing that concerns me is I forget that the skinhead look is utilized by people whose views I don't necessarily agree with. I already got a bit of a white supremacist vibe going on just with my body language and the beard and my girth. And so it just dawned on me the other day. I was like, oh, I hope my neighbors don't think I'm a neo-Nazi.
Oh, I've been living with that look for a long time, buddy.
Yeah, that's true. Because I certainly look the part.
That's an old John Roy joke about how he's like, it's unfortunate that the only hairstyle available to me is also celebrated by racists, but I'm stuck with this. I have to have this haircut because I don't want to look like Frasier. it's either this or it looked like fucking Frasier. All right, so yeah. This is what I got.
Yeah, and I never understood. God, I was watching some movie the other day. I forgot what it was, but the male pattern baldness with the
MPB,
with the extra growth, with growing out the parts that you can control. Like I don't understand that. Like
there's
trim it down.
I've been looking at we've discussed it. I'm fascinated with fake hair on guys. Mm-hmm. not in a negative way, but like think about how many people go bald and then, oh, everybody in Hollywood, like, all right, you want to go into Hollywood conspiracy theories and who controls what and the cabal or what have you. I always like, oh man, good fake hair. I'm a fan of it. I think I'm starting to think that, just in the way that, like, if anybody who gets plastic surgery and is honest about it, then good for you.
Yeah.
If somebody's like, yeah, I got my boobs done. And they look great. And then they just took all the power away from anybody criticizing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you feel better because you got that done. You feel better about yourself. Then I used to be like, oh man, you got to just like who you are and who cares? I was like, no, if you want to do something to your body. I mean, if I felt that way, I wouldn't have gotten tattoos, but I felt like, oh, these are going to make me cooler. I want to be cool.
Hey everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones, or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Good fake hair?
Everybody. If it's good, you don't know.
Yeah. Ted Danson's got fake hair. His looks good.
Oh, Ted Danson took his piece off in Cheers. That was a big thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He showed that he was like, oh, I'm actually bald. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dudes that have just been rocking a piece. But like the actual, like, I think the big thing is like Hungarian tourism. You go there, it's a big, like how people go to South America for different plastic surgeries. I think dudes go to, it's like Hungary or something. They go for hair transplants.
Really? They have the better methods over there?
I don't know if it's better or cheaper or what it is, but so I heard about that. You go away for 2 weeks, you come back. Like, because I couldn't sneak it in. I'd come back with a full head of hair and be like, yeah, I got hair. If I wanted hair, I got hair. But why is that? If somebody gets a tattoo, you're like, oh, cool tattoo. Oh, who are you trying to fool with your hair? Nobody. I was bald yesterday. Now I have hair. So what? I can run a brush over the top of my head. Just feels weird right now. Because I still think
you should get a piece.
I don't have enough hair on the top of my head to like where It's just thin enough that if I do grow everything long, it's just like real gross and sticks to the top of my head. Like some dudes are bald on top. They got a little bit. And there's kind of like, it's like the spirit of a pompadour that's up there.
Yeah.
Like if they're in front of a light, you see right through it. But like in dead on, you kind of see it.
Dude, you had a phase about 10 years ago where you were growing out the back.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked it, dude. It looked good. You looked like George Carlin. You had a Carlin thing going on there.
Yeah, I mean, now Rachel keeps daring me to grow my hair out, but it's like it's not like a dare you could just do. It's like, okay, I'll do it, and then you got to wait 9 months. That's like daring somebody to have a baby. It's like, all right, here we go.
Oh, man.
How's Night Patrol going? You Night Patroling?
Night Patrolling a lot, dude. I've added a new repertoire to my arsenal. I don't know if that makes sense.
People didn't like the ice clanging. Sorry.
They'll deal with it. I've been living in this apartment for 3 months, and it just now dawned on me. I don't have a front porch per se, but we have a stoop. Our building's a quadplex, kind of the typical old school like Brooklyn brownstone setup.
Yeah.
You know, where there's about four or five big steps and then up to a stoop, and then you got the doors. But I got this nice little stoop, and it just now dawned on me that I could be sitting out on there. I whipped out the camping chair the other day and did a little daytime surveillance. And then the next day, Katie bought me like the classic folding lawn chair, but like twice the size. It's like a lawn sofa. Lawn chair sofa.
So you just look like a little kid in it. You look like a Lily Tomlin doing her little kid sketch.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Little Dave's out there doing his best Lily Tomlin again. What? Just you got to see it. You'll know what I mean when you see him.
Oh, but I forgot how much fun it is to sit out on the porch. It's a lot of fun. It's one of those simple pleasures that I've been overlooking. And, I've been spending a few hours every day just out on the stoop, getting a little vitamin D, listening to some podcasts, watching the neighborhood, helping out the neighbors. I've been on parking patrol this week. Parking's real scarce in our neighborhood. People are always playing, musical chairs, trying to get that good parking spot. But I've been holding spots for people. And, I'm more a part of the community now that I got a nice chair and a stoop. So it feels good.
Old man Stone out there keeping things high and tight.
Dude, yelling at people to slow down.
Oh, you're doing that. I yelled at a lady the other night I was out. Well, because we're on the second floor, so we got our little balcony that we got. And so I've been out. My thing now, I'm trying to get into a routine, Dave. I'm trying to, like, morning, coffee, sit out there, and read.
That's a nice balcony, too. I'd be sitting out there all the time.
It's, you know what? Rachel did a good job. She got plants out there and they're like, we got hummingbird feeders. Man, we got binoculars. Well, I got
nice binoculars.
But the angle with which, like, man, you just hold them 45 degrees up. I'm a bird watcher. Straight, parallel with the horizon. You're a creep. That's
you're
it.
You're a creep.
Like, you got to be careful about that. But, you know, good for patrolling. I was out there toking a little weed on my cool Sherlock pipe from Slob the Glass.
Nice.
As I've plugged.
Nice. Uh-huh.
Yeah, been getting way back into weed, man.
Oh, really? What do you mean way back into it? What are you getting into?
I'm just kind of daily now.
Yeah.
At night.
Uh-huh.
Because before, if I was at a show, I would never smoke beforehand and afterhand. No. Afterwards, I'm hanging out at the bar or whatever. Mm-hmm. On the road, I would have like a vape pen in the room to like, as we've talked about, but to turn off the thought process. After a show, you're just, your brain's still going.
Yeah.
And so I would smoke weed to kind of like land the plane.
Okay.
And now it's just in the evening. I'm like, all right, what are we doing? Watching a movie? Cool. I'm going to smoke all this weed that I've had stashed here. So
good for you, man.
Was doing that. Just, I mean, nothing major. Just saw probably, you know, transient or homeless lady just checking door handles up and down the street. So I was like, get out of here.
Really?
And her move was to, she had a phone and got on the phone and was like, I was just, like loudly doing some theater, which good on her. Cause I didn't want to go full, you know, Rat Patrol on her and be like, I'm calling the cops or nothing. Like, as we discussed, homeless people got a set of problems.
Yeah, but that doesn't give them a right to break into your car, man.
Well,
I'd have no problem taking
action. That's why I was like, that's why I was like, you're checking for open, you're being criminally advantageous, is what I would call it. Because I wouldn't say it's definitely a B&E if the door handle's open. And she wasn't trying to break any windows. She was just checking door handles, which my car, I forgot to lock my car and I got shit stolen out of it. I'm not saying it's right, but it wasn't worth, you know, the umpteenth degree of like, fucking cops, get over here. There's a light. But I yelled at her and she got on her phone. She's like, I was just, hi, it's me. I was just making sure the cars were locked. Someone thinks I'm doing something. And they like walked away. I'm like, I appreciate your defense of your defensive theater. Like that move of like, hello, it's just me, you know, the neighbor who checks to make sure we've locked our car doors. And that's what I was doing, but someone doesn't know that that's what I do, and they're upset with me. So please, I'm just coming home now. I thought that was kind of a silly way to get out of it, but
yeah,
but that's all I caught on Night Patrol.
What's the vibe up in LA now as far as when you go out? What percentage of people are still wearing masks?
Everybody's kind of just has it on as pageantry. Like they'll put it on. If you walk by somebody, they'll put it on. We did a bike ride yesterday up and down the river path, and some people did, some people didn't.
Yeah, I'm still seeing a lot. There's a lot of people around here not wearing them anymore.
Well, LA just said they're going to do free tests for everybody. Whether you have symptoms or not, free tests for everybody.
Okay. How do you go about getting that test? You got to go somewhere?
And as much as I just screamed about doing two clicks, I just saw the headline that said a governor and I don't know, it was Newsom and Garcetti were like, fuck it, free tests for everybody. Every registered citizen of Los Angeles. And I think it's just a matter of being able to check off neighborhoods. I don't know if there's a bigotry-based thing about undocumented people, but I think it's a matter of like, we can go and check everybody. So I think that's a good thing, because that's why Trump doesn't want everybody to get tested, because that will make the numbers worse, and he doesn't want numbers, because it'll make him look bad.
Yeah.
If we find out who's sick and how to contain it and how to handle it, he'll look bad if we try to do the right thing.
Did you hear?
Is there any Trump supporters that listen to this podcast? I don't know why.
Did you hear Mike Pence's valet tested positive? And I saw something today where just now, 2 months after all this shit started, it is now mandatory for people in the West Wing to wear masks. Just now, they're getting around to that. Wouldn't you think they would be the first to enact some of those policies to not that I give a shit about them, but in theory to protect the president? Don't you think they'd be in the front line of some of these safety habits?
Well, yeah. Well, I saw something else like, well, if the president wears a mask, it'll be a sign of weakness. Well, then why do you have bodyguards?
Yeah.
Why the fuck is the Secret Service there? It'll show weakness. Let him take a bullet then. Please let him take a bullet.
The right has spun that recently that, you know, now you wear a mask, you're just a sheep. What harm? Why not? And we don't have to go too deep into this, but do these people really think people aren't dying? Do they think that no one's dying? It's all a hoax? Like, what's the risk? What's the harm in just covering your ass and wearing a mask? Like, how does that make you a sheep?
The same way the left is like, why are you so scared you need guns? You know, each side is going to have its argument. Here's one which we should go into more. And as I say this right now, I need to research it more. But I bumped the mic. Sorry, bumping mics with the guy and the other guy. How actually like concealed carry or something in California. you know, the gun rights people. And I, you know, we've both said we're all right with guns, with some stipulations to the idea of having guns.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my ass handed to me and things that I've said on other podcasts or in specials about gun control where I've made a off the cuff comment and not done my own research, but mm-hmm. about how I think it was the NRA and Ronald Reagan when he was governor of California actually put stricter gun control regulations on the state because it was the Black Panthers that started open carry, mm-hmm. Carrying guns around. They're like, well, we can't have that. So that's why stricter gun control came in. And now with the fucking guy that was just jogging and got shot, they're going to do, hey, like I saw that Black Panthers are doing like armed patrol in the neighborhood where those guys lived. And it's like,
I like
exactly.
That.
And whoever else had the quote of like, you want to see gun control? I think somebody was like quoting Dave Chappelle saying like one of his bits, like, you want to see gun control? Let, you know, let every Black man in America walk around with an AR-15. You're going to see gun control real quick.
Imagine if what happened last week in Michigan at the state capitol. Imagine if those were Black guys.
Oh, in any case. Well, I've been making the joke for a while. Like, just gentrify the NRA. Every mm-hmm. marginalized group get an NRA membership right now.
Yeah.
Every gay, trans, Black, every minority group. Join the NRA right now and watch the power dynamic shift from those crotchety old white dudes and like, oh, I guess we don't like this organization anymore, and watch them bail mm-hmm. out.
Yeah.
Go in there. Do it legally. Do it legally. Go apply and join.
That'd be beautiful.
But yeah, like, oh yeah, we don't want Black people walking around with guns. Like that's how gun control happened in California. It's like, again, as I said before this, I need to do my own research, but ooh, as a soundbite, that don't look too good. Uh-oh. Either way, I still was like, at the beginning of all this, I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking about buying a gun. I want to go buy a gun. And then I just didn't want to deal with the lines at the gun shop to go buy a gun. You know what cuts through line pretty quick? AR-15. Boom! Yeah! Oh, I just blew up the whole argument.
Did you see that one fucking doofus? There's a picture of some doofus at Subway with a goddamn bazooka.
I think they were like fake.
I mean, I would hope so. That just seemed too ridiculous to be real.
No, somebody else was holding something that was clearly carved out of wood, and I think they were going like purposeful cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
Like just shock treatment. Like that's the closest thing like a right wing Second Amendment guy has to like two dudes kissing in front of the Westboro Baptist Church. that's the closest they can come up with is a fake rocket launcher to freak out the squares, you know? Oh yeah, look at this thing. Oh man, we got ourselves into a corner. Where's the silliness, Dave? Where's the fun and joy? I forgot what was, I don't know what happened that was fun this week. I didn't make any food. We've just, everything that was exciting has now become not boring, but routine. Not mm-hmm. in a negative way, but of, you know, we've been getting our little HelloFresh meals.
Yeah, how's that going?
Again, shit, man, I should be sponsored with how many times I mentioned fucking HelloFresh.
Yeah, but,
it's been good. It's just something they're starting to get now that we're about 4 weeks into it. It's like, oh, you guys are really loading this up with the salt and the butter and the make you feel good bits. Like, oh, I think some of these are like, oh, you're going to make us feel full by all the shit you added to it. But we did a little fusion, Asian fusion salmon last night. That was tasty.
Ooh, talk to me. What'd you do to it?
I was dicking around, so Rachel made that one, so I don't know what went into mm-hmm. it. Everything we get though, chives. Got all every time, chives. Every recipe, chives. We got chives out the ass over here.
It's the utility infielder of the culinary world. It goes great with everything. Little chives, little green onion.
You chop the little end off. Chives and green onion are the same. Am I wrong?
I feel like they're definitely in the same family. I feel like chives are a lot smaller.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think there's pretty much the same flavor profile, but chives, I think, are a lot smaller in diameter.
Everything we get is like dice up the white part of it, put it in the sauce, dice up the green part as a garnish. And then you cut the little end off, put it in a shot glass of water. You're growing chives. You just got you got chives on hand.
What about entertainment? You been watching anything interesting? What's going on there?
Well, that bullshit documentary. I'm going to watch it again tonight. I'm probably going to get fucked up and watch it tonight. It was like, and maybe I need to just sit and be a little, take it a little more seriously. But like I said, having read all the comments, like I legitimately think that there might be something to Corey Feldman's whole, like the pedophile ring.
Yeah, like I watched that. We talked about that.
Like, oh shit, sorry, hit the mic. When you're running a thing where like, oh, parents willing to just throw their kids into a, you know, a food processor more or less. Mm-hmm. Maybe if my kid becomes famous, I'll get money. I mean, shitty parents are already out there.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have a machine that's like, we'll take your kid. Oh, this kid's adorable. We're going to do whatever we want with him. But here's your check. I definitely believe that that can exist here. Because where else is a 9-year-old of value in the world? Other than entertainment. Other than in a money-making industry, where are children? Where can they be converted into currency or be their own currency at that age? Not athletics.
There's a darker answer to that, but
The whole fuck thing. Thailand. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant just child actors.
Why would pedophiles gravitate to anywhere where like, oh, here you're going to leave your kid unsupervised? That is a conspiracy that seems incredibly plausible.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Because there's nowhere else where like, oh, we need a, you know what this industry could make millions of dollars with? A 10-year-old. There's no other industry that's like, oh, we're going to make a ton of money off a 10-year-old. Hollywood is.
Well, and it's the same thing like with Weinstein and the women. It's the, I got to be careful how I phrase this, but the risk versus reward, you know, am I willing to put up with a little bit of, am I willing to bend my ethics and my morals a little bit if I get something very desirable in return?
Yeah. Well, that's
not
like
that applies to the kids. I mean, the kids aren't wagering their own
virginity
for a part, but.
But that's why, like, I read these comments, and that's like, we got to stop worshiping these celebrities. I'm like, yeah, who's still doing that? Like, I mean,
do that.
But that was their whole thing. We got to stop. So it's basically, it was like a very thick smear of common sense is all it was. But about how Hollywood is corrupt. Yes, absolutely. It's corrupt. That's without a doubt. It's a major industry. So it's corrupt. I'm sure anything that generates that much money globally has corruption to it. The fact that, yeah, it was like, oh, these celebrities coax, they convince you. People are lured to Hollywood for fame and fortune. Yeah, it's a lottery ticket. That's all. We're here. We know why, but also we like developed a skill, I would say. Developed a skill with stand-up comedy and tried to make that skill a livable income. And where do you get to do that? LA, New York, show business. Yeah. We subscribe to the idea of show business. It's slimy, like every other business. Oh, it takes advantage of women. Like, look in the 80s when everything was like just like talking about like the stock market drama, how stock market dudes were just fucking psycho, Ponzi scheme, cokehead, fucking freak show shit. Yeah. Exactly. Was not a mind blowing revelation that Hollywood has corruption and that celebrities are ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. No shit.
I should watch it again. And because I also last night I watched L.A. Confidential, which is a story about how things were corrupt way back in the 50s. Fictional tale, but I'm sure with truthful elements to it.
Is that the one with Russell Crowe and Kim Basinger?
Yeah, about how the police force was fucked. I mean, again, showbiz is ridiculous. How about cops be like, become a cop and it'll be great. And then there's corruption with power. Anywhere there's power, there's corruption. That's just an easy way to just take everything.
Yeah.
Oh, this consolidated group of people has a lot of power. There's going to be corruption. That's just an easy bet to take anywhere. Which here was a movie about Hollywood and the police department in LA at the time. And I was watching Waco.
Oh yeah. I watched the first couple episodes of that, really enjoyed it. I gotta get back into it.
Another good thing about how press and PR, according to that series, because you know, the whole thing, I never knew much about what happened. I was like, oh, guy, cult leader. And then the FBI went in to save women and kids because he's a cult leader and fucking those kids or whatever. And they all died. And that's really all I knew about it. I didn't go into it. And it was how much that, and again, like, why is that? Okay. Why is that series trending on Netflix? Oh, because everybody's, government conspiracies now. And that one's exciting to watch. I'm talking too much, Dave.
That's all right, buddy. Now I enjoyed that show. Have you finished it yet?
No, I think I'm about episode 3. I don't know how many there are. There's not that many of them, right?
I'm curious how they portray the big question of that whole story is who started the fire? Did Koresh set his own building on fire, or did the FBI start that fire? Because most of those people died from the fire. I think what 80 something people from his cult.
Seven. I don't know. Well, so far the tone of the series is putting a lot of blame on how the FBI handled things because it happened not long after Ruby Ridge.
Yeah.
Which is where the FBI fucked things up.
Randy Weaver.
Yeah. It's where people get you get confused looking at how the law should handle things, even though who they're trying to approach, like, wasn't Randy Weaver, what was he? He was kind of just affiliated with white supremacists.
Yeah, loosely affiliated, and I think that all started from the illegal purchase of some guns.
Yeah, and he's just a guy that wanted to live by himself. But, okay, those, who are the dudes that were, like, had the standoff at that ranch?
That's the Bundys? Back. Yeah.
Yeah, which we can go back to the other thing. Like, imagine a bunch of black people with guns saying, nah, fuck you, we're not coming out. They'd be wiped out.
Exactly. Exactly. But going back to Waco, I always found this interesting. There's a photograph. That Waco thing was what? Like 8 days, 10 days, something like that? Well,
no, 50,
whatever 50, it was.
50 days.
50 days. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm confusing that with something else. So it was 51. A big, long standoff. And so it attracted the general public would show up and kind of watch, from outside the police tape or whatever. And there's a photograph, and people would set up, right-wing people would set up. It'd be like a right-wing farmer's market out there. People setting up tables with stickers and books and shirts, all this right-wing stuff. And there's a photograph of a then-unknown Timothy McVeigh standing behind a card table full of right-wing bumper stickers. He was part of that crew that was, kind of sightseeing there. And then, a year or two later, he becomes infamous.
I don't want to say right-wing, and I want to confuse right-wing and anti-government. Some of the anti-government sentiment I'm with, but usually anything right-wing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, because, Well, that's a quick question, just to derail real quick, and we might get into this, we might not. I've been revisiting the topic of doomsday preppers and bug-out bags and stuff like that. Yeah, here's a question. Are there any left-wing preppers?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, I would hope so. Prepping, I would think prepping, so. I mean, I'm a left-wing prepper, but it just seems like the majority of that world leans right.
I think who gets the most light shined mm-hmm. on them, pointed towards?
Shown. Yeah.
Shown? Is it shown?
I think so. Shined sounds a little incorrect.
I guess. Yeah, I see where you're going. I started just on a whim. I mean, it's goddamn Twitter, but followed the Socialist Rifleist Association? Because I followed, as I mentioned, the guy Robert Evans, who does Behind the Bastards with her pal Billy Wayne quite often, and does the It Could Happen Here podcast, which. Mm-hmm. I recommend to everybody. It will scare you.
I've listened to a few of those episodes.
Scarier than any ghost shit we can talk about right now is Robert mm-hmm. Evans' It Could Happen Here podcast.
Yeah.
It will fuck you up, especially in the midst of all this.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a totally left-wing dude that's also super Second Amendment.
Okay. I'm glad those guys are out there.
Yeah, but prepping is, I don't think it has to do with the government. I think it has to do with common sense. Like, prepping is just like, forget who or why or what, power grid goes down for longer mm-hmm. than a week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bipartisan
for
issue.
For whatever reason, you know, solar flares or whatever you want to talk about, or it is some weird terrorist attack. I mean, and he talks about that, how easy it is to control and be a terrorist, like take out water supplies, take out electricity, take out the internet, like ease, like things that can be done.
Yeah.
But just say power goes out for a week. Say power goes out for a week and you were supposed to go grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to go to the store now? When we saw what happened when everything was pretty much fine, how people hoarded shit.
Yeah.
And how supply chain, and also about how the shipping industry. You want to mm-hmm. shut down anywhere? Take out the shipping industry. Like, how That's true. Do you think the groceries got to the store?
Mm-hmm.
The farmer's market is the more ideal way to shop. just environmentally, because you're not, you know, but the shipping industry.
Mm-hmm.
So how much all that stuff got, you know, people freaked out, hoarded toilet paper, all this stuff. What, you know, why is it weird to think that, like, yeah, I should have some food here? I mean, earthquakes are a threat here, so it's easy to have an earthquake kit.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just have one anyway, wherever you live? You know what's in an earthquake kit? Food, maybe some desalination tablets, have mm-hmm. your little crank radio and a flashlight or stuff like that. It's not that much money. And it doesn't hurt to have that anywhere you live. I lived in a floodplain growing up. Our house was where the flood waters stopped. We were on just enough mm-hmm. of a hill that where everything flooded. But because it's flooding, they have to shut down parts of the power grid because you can't have electricity running through water that's sitting in the street. That mm-hmm. means all the food in everybody's refrigerator is going bad. Why not just knowing that you have that thing there instead of dealing with crowds and the panic at a store, like we got 4 days of food here.
Exactly.
And if we use it and we didn't need to, then we get another one of these at the end of all this.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, in 4 days, everything's back up and running. We can go to stores. Thank God we had this here.
Better to have it, not need it, than need it, not have it.
Well, that's people have, as I've said before, I think some preppers are just looking for an excuse to sit in a garage full of ravioli too, so
I think we could get into that. We could get into it real quick. I've got a list here, and we talked about this early in the Boogie Monster, but never a better time than now to revisit that, the concept of having a bug out bag. And I got a bug out bag. I think I told you this on the show a few weeks ago. I purchased what I thought was going to be a pretty rad bug out bag, and my own fault, did not pay attention to the dimensions, And this thing is so damn small, you could bug out for about 5 hours with this stupid thing. So now I got to go find another one.
Well, it's got everything to make everything to make walking Frito pie.
Yeah. Absolutely.
My bug out bag's got milk in it. I don't know how this is going to last.
But I'm looking on UnchartedSupplyCompany.com. They have narrowed it down to 50 items, 50 essential items.
Ooh, Mike that you need. Ex-BMX rider, also stunt performer, Mike Rooftop Escamilla, I think has done Uncharted, plugs for Uncharted. So I hope it's a decent product because I respect that guy.
Oh, cool. Yeah. He's affiliated with them? I didn't realize that.
He's like always doing adventure shit now. Can't do so much BMX later in life because all your bones are broken. Yeah. So he does more like kind of like adventure shit. But he was plugging those Uncharted bags.
Yeah. Yeah. They look pretty cool. So I may have to pull the trigger on one of those. I'll definitely check the dimensions before I hit confirm. But this is a pretty common theory in the world of survivalist and preppers, but the survival rule of three, meaning that, all right, they got it broken down to air. All right, you can survive for 3 minutes without air. Shelter, you can survive for 3 hours without shelter in a harsh environment. And water, you can survive 3 days without water. And food, you can survive 3 weeks without food. So using that rule of three and trying to build your bug out bag, I'll just rattle off and chime in whenever you want. But there's 50 of them, so I won't spend too much time on each. But this is what Uncharted Supply Company has narrowed down to 50 essentials for your bug out bag. And just to revisit that concept, bug out meaning you're going to grab your shit and get the hell out of here, as opposed to bug in, which is you're going to hunker down. You've got all your supplies at home. Maybe you have a bunker or a basement or something. You know, when the shit hits the fan, are you going to hit the road, or are you going to stay home? So bug out versus bug in. And this is the bug out essentials. Starting off with pretty obvious stuff, bandages and Band-Aids. All right, you need some sort of first aid kit, some sort of some items that are going to aid you in the event that maybe you know there's an injury or illness. So sure. Bandages and Band-Aids, number one. Number two, a good multi-tool. Do you have a nice multi-tool, a nice Leatherman?
Do I?
Yeah.
I got a Leatherman in the whip. No, mm-hmm. I got a Leatherman in the house and a Leatherman in the garage. And I have a lot of knives.
Yeah, those things come in handy. Number three, water filtration system. Got to have a way to access clean water.
Life Straw, I forget the company who made the pump that I have.
Okay. Number four, paracord, essential for bug out bags. Got to have a good paracord, just kind of an all-purpose cord, you know, string cord, something to. Those things are so handy.
I always thought, like, why would you have paracord? And then I went on a little camping excursion, and the sole of my boot fell off.
Oh, okay.
And I was glad to have paracord to be able to tie it back so it stayed on my foot, because I had a 5 mile hike ahead of me.
Nice.
And I was tent. Like, this is why you have this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Tent is pretty obvious. You gotta have some sort of temporary shelter. So you know,
if you don't have a vehicle that you're in. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Sleeping bag, obviously some sort of sleeping bag. Sure. Antibacterial wipes. Those are coming handy all the time. Painkillers. Wouldn't hurt to have some sort of painkillers in case you have some sort of injury.
Hella weed, bro.
Tied you over till you can get to a hospital or something. Gauze pads. Gauze pads are pretty multi-purpose there. Sunscreen. That's a good one that some people overlook. Medical gloves. Medical instrument kit. That's important. Little kit that has little tweezers and scissors and maybe a little scalpel. Yeah, you can just
say a first aid kit.
Mm-hmm. But even a first aid kit, a first aid kit by itself may not have the medical instruments. So tweezers,
tweezers, dude.
Oh, I love tweezers. You got to have some tweezers.
Getting slivers. Mm-hmm. Slivers are splinters. A bitch if you do not have tweezers. Uh-huh.
Swiss a sling
Army knife got you covered on a lot of this shit, by the way.
That's true too. Something to fashion a sling out of in case you break break a bone, break an arm. Got to sling that bastard up. Burn gel, in case you come across any burns. Got to have some sort of aloe or burn gel. Kind of a companion to that would be antibiotic ointment. Got to have that. Got to have some antiseptic wipes. First aid instructions. I don't know what they mean by that. Tourniquet, that's fun.
Is part of the bug out bag being a doctor?
Tourniquet, a mini shovel, an axe. Everybody needs a good axe or a hatchet. Duct tape. Boy, there you go. Talk about multi-purpose. Get you a nice fat roll of duct tape.
Super glue. Here's a fun one. Antibacterial, and you can close up cuts with it.
Ooh, yeah. Crowbar. They recommend having a nice crowbar. Love a good crowbar. It's fun to have.
Get an axe, smash some shit, with
pry into stuff.
Metal end to it.
Folding saw. That could definitely come in handy. A nice folding saw. Oh, a space blanket. Talk about something you need in extreme conditions. Get you one of those space blankets, not unlike the bags that DoorDash and Postmates use to keep your pizza warm. Love a good space blanket. Air filtration mask, that's very important. Right now, those have never been more popular. I just got a new one in the mail.
Is being the strongest person in the world to carry all this shit part of the bug out bag?
Well, you get they're claiming that all this can fit into one of their bigger bug out bags. So yeah, I mean it's going to be heavy, but you know a lot of the stuff, you know, space blanket and duct tape and you know.
I mean, a lot is like, all right, if you have an axe, do you need a saw? If you have a saw, do you need an axe? It's also a saw. I have a chainsaw, which is literally just the chain from a chainsaw with two handles on the end that you just wrap around a branch. And I took it out. My buddy Kevin, who I go bike ride with, is very attentive to trail maintenance. So, if, like, a lot of times you get on a trail, there's a tree falling in front of it. You got something it's about the size of about the size of your phone. You just take it off, and it takes some work, but then we can clear out the trail so nobody hits that log. That instead of an entire saw.
That's a good point.
Thing to have on hand. Like a lot of this stuff.
In what scenario would you
redundant.
Need both, a saw and an axe? I'm not sure.
I mean, an axe, you want to split wood for fire? I understand having an axe, but
okay.
Why can't that axe cut a branch? Like, what?
Yeah,
are they trying to tell you what you need or what you should buy?
That's a good question, too. All these things are available on our website. I don't know if that's true, but moving along. Water carrying solution, some sort of canteen or some sort of jug or water bottle or some way to carry water. Rations, that's obvious. You got to have some sort of food on you. Fishing kit, I like that. That's something that gets overlooked. I would like to get a little bitty fishing kit. Get these little these fishing rods that break down, you know, and you can fold them up. And you can actually fish even without a rod, you know, if you've got some bait and some line.
Yeah,
it'd be good to go.
And water with fish in it. Don't forget that part. We live in a desert.
Cold weather gloves, that's important. Headgear, they just say headgear. What are they talking about there? Are they talking about, as far as clothing, something to keep your head warm? Beanie, toboggan, something of that nature. Waterproof jacket, that could definitely come in handy. I've seen a lot of videos recently of different companies advertising really lightweight waterproof jackets that are warm and waterproof. I could see that coming in handy if you're out in the elements.
I will say take a chunk of money, and when you can, go to REI.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that REI has is pretty much decent quality versus like a Big Five or something where you're getting the basic shit. REI also has a real good return policy. Mm-hmm. Take it, try it, don't like it, take it back. I think you've got a year. They have all this shit there. And yeah, looks a little bit more expensive. It's because it's all pretty decent stuff.
Yeah, what's the point of getting all this shit if half of it's going to break on you?
And it's all in one building, too. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah,
change of clothes, that's important. Have you at least one different change of clothes? A good pocket knife comes in handy. Pepper spray, that's always good to have, whether it be used against people or animals. You're going to have some pepper spray. Hand warmers, I don't know if they just mean gloves. Matches or fire starter, some sort of fire kit. We talked about that last time. We were talking about this, little things that you can put in your fire kit, like cotton balls and Vaseline, things of that nature.
Dryer lint.
Mm-hmm, dryer lint. Chem lights. I don't know what they mean by chem lights. Some sort of...
I wonder if that's like glow sticks.
Yeah, could be something like that. Flashlights, obvious. Headlamp, that could definitely come in handy to have light and also keep your hands free. Maps, any type of maps of the area that you're in or that you're headed to, always comes in handy in case, you know, your phone, you know, you got to assume in an event like this that maybe your phone's not going to work and you're not going to have Wi-Fi. So go back to the old school way of navigation with a map. Compass comes in handy right there with a map. GPS tracking system in case you do have access to, you know, battery powered electronics and things of that nature. A GPS tracking system could help. Phone chargers, goggles, a whistle. That's a good one.
Whistles.
I mean, that doesn't take whistle takes up almost no space.
You look up and look at any outdoor backpacks, like my backpacking backpacks that I have. Mm-hmm. The whistle is attached to like the shoulder strap. So it's right in front of you. Because shit goes down, you fall down something right away. Mm-hmm. Whistle is within your mouth's reach.
Yeah.
And you can make noise in the wilderness and attract attention to yourself.
A sewing kit. That's something that seems to be overlooked, but a sewing kit. Being able to, you know, fix your pants or maybe stitch up a wound.
This is how far along are we in the 50 here?
We got four more. I'll go ahead and rattle them off.
Okay.
Copies of important documents, you know, keep your passport, your, you know, IDs, things like that in your bag because you might need that. You may never be returning home. You don't know. Emergency cash, always handy. Your prescription drugs, if needed. And then finally, number 50, a small mirror. So you could definitely find ways to use a small mirror. So, yeah, that's UnchartedSupplyCompany.com's 50 essentials for your bug out bag. Now, obviously, I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos and stuff about prepping and bug out bags. Some people have like 100 items, and then there's other people that are like, you only need these 10. So it's like anything else. What can you fit in your bag? You know, just think about that one bag and just think of a scenario of like, oh shit, I may be away from my home for weeks or months. What can I cram into this bag that I'm going to need the most?
Well, man, did you ever start watching that show Alone?
Yes. Yes, we watched that. Yeah, that's the one where they're just out in the wilderness by themselves.
Yeah, that's a good reference point. If anybody's like, well, what would it really be like? Watch that one. I think that's a good one. And I also think... not Bear Grylls, but the other guy.
Yeah. Who's the other guy? I know who you're talking about.
You know, there's like at the time, there's the two of them.
Yes. Survivor Man?
Survivor Man was a little bit more on point because I think you could tell he was by himself.
Uh-huh.
Where like the Bear Grylls one, like, you know, you got busted for like fabricating situations. They were still eating goat eyeballs and shit, but then they went to sleep in a hotel at the end of the night. I don't fault them for that. They're making TV. But Alone, that's a good one to watch people figure out really how to make fish traps in a stream. Mm-hmm. You know, not just fishing with a fishing line, but make a fish trap that they will swim into this opening and then get stuck in there. Like long-term survival stuff is pretty fascinating.
Les Stroud, that's a guy's name.
Yeah.
I think Les Stroud has also, he's got some Bigfoot experiences. I think he's, if not, I don't know if he's seen them directly, but he's got a couple stories where he's heard things like real close. And he's like, look, I know what I'm talking about out here in these woods. And that whoever that was not a bear or not a dude.
You're not trying to throw some juice into his fading career.
I mean, he could be, but you know, if anybody's going to come across something like that, it's dudes like him that are out in the woods that often.
Well, on Alone, I mean, talking about people that had limited things they could bring in with them.
Mm-hmm. And they could only pick a few things.
You know what I'm pissed about that I realized? I was supposed to do that survival course. Rachel got me that survival course for Christmas, and it was supposed to be at the beginning of April, and it's all moved because of this. I mean, I'm still going to go do it eventually, but I was excited about it. I got a lot of those items you were talking about I already had, but I got some more knives. I just have a lot of knives. So many knives.
Yeah.
But
many knives that you warranted a table.
I did. The table's still there. Table's still right. It's not so much a knife table anymore as it is just a table holding up food and candles and shit, you know, on account of living with a lady. Not so many knives being chucked into it. But maybe I got to revive it. Maybe I got to get her excited about it.
Yeah.
We're all bored. We drink. We get bored. Let's get some knives whipped around the apartment a little more often.
Get Rachel excited about knives.
I'm going to go stand over here behind this wall and you practice a little by yourself first. I think, how old, I always wondered, could I become an Eagle Scout now?
Oh, what are the age restrictions?
Like, I don't even need the title, but give me the training, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when I was in high school, to become an Eagle Scout, that's just other high school you're doing right now.
Yeah.
That sounds like so much more work. All this shit, kid. In our 40s, looking back at all the extra shit kids did in high school just so it looked good so they would get into college.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to look good then. And then the college.
ROTC.
And then I look back and I'm like, actually, yeah, that you guys did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I go camping with a couple. Like one friend who's like, we would go off road. He's like covered with crazy dumb tattoos. And I know him from the music world and stuff. But then him and his brother are just we're at camp. They're doing all shit. I'm like, what's up? Like, yeah, we're both Eagle Scouts. I'm like, no shit. It's like, yeah, we know all this stuff. I'm like, I was so jealous. So I'm like, oh, you guys look like scumbags.
Were you not into Boy Scouts or anything as a kid?
I was in Cub Scouts. I didn't even make Weebelos, I don't think. I quit everything I tried, every organization I was a part of, I quit. Band, I ended high school being affiliated with nothing.
Yeah.
I was in band. I think I had violin for 2 years. Didn't like it. Took up saxophone.
You played violin in the band?
I played violin in grade school. You know, when the first time music lessons come around.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe, I guess if I, like, I'm like, I'll try this. And I tried it and it was just, I didn't like it. And then, so I went to saxophone. The saxophone's cool. And I didn't even make it through junior high. I think I quit seventh grade, which was a mistake because if you weren't in band, you got put in shop class. Like that was like the elective class. If you were in band, you were in band. But if you weren't in band, you just got put in this one part of the junior high. Like I think I went to junior high school in a prison. Hmm. Indian Trail Junior High School in Addison, Illinois was shaped like a correctional facility.
Really?
There was a part, I was talking about this with my friends. There's a part of the cafeteria, there's like a big wide open common area that served as a cafeteria, but there's also lockers in it. But if you had one of the lockers in that area, it would be like a part of a cell block where you know the guards don't check. And if you had a friend they got their locker assignment, they're like, oh, I'm in this common area, you're dead, dude. Because it was just dark and no teachers ever came down there. And the bullies knew that. And it just created bullies. Because you're just in junior high. So you're inherently an asshole already. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, I got puberty before you did. I guess I'll beat you up now. And I never had a locker. I never had a locker in there. But the people that did, they're fucking traumatized to this day. But so shop class, man. So I quit saxophone seventh grade. So eighth grade, I was just in shop class and it was full fucking psychos. This dude, Jose, put his head not just through like a window that you see in a house, like when the side of a school has windows that are 6 feet wide and nine feet tall. He put his head through that window and top of it fell and just cut his forehead off.
Jesus.
And I was in shop class with that fucking gargoyle.
Why did he do that?
Because he was crazy.
Huh.
And it was him. And I was like, all right with him. We're just being like gym class or whatever. There's no reason for being enemy. Eighth grade, he just decided, you know what? I don't like you. So I'm little now. I was even littler then. So another dude named Jeremy, who was like, remember the first metalhead you met? Like, how do you know all this? Like, how are you this hardcore in eighth grade?
I used to think that exact thing. Like, where are you getting this access to these bands?
Yeah. This kid was like deep into just, this, I mean, this is probably 1990 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the first dude to start wearing Metallica t-shirts. Like, that's a scary, that t-shirt scares me.
Yeah.
You know, when like you didn't know about it, like that's a guy just being electrocuted. What? That's on a shirt and your mom let you go to school like that? And like, I remember going down there and one day, like him and Jose were just like, let's see who can break. They both had history books that they had no use for. They weren't going to learn anything. So they decided to see who could break the binding on it first by smashing themselves in the head with it. So I walked into shop class after I'm like, man, glad I got out of band. That was full of nerds. And watched a metalhead and this future inmate just go 3, 2, 1, go. And they took their thick history books and just started smashing themselves in the head with it.
Oh, wow.
To see who could break the binding on it first. Huh. And I was like, I made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
I've made a huge mistake being down here. Anyway, Jeremy defended me against Jose. They had some weird dance where Jose's like, I think I'm going to kill you today. I'm like, oh, I don't want to die. And Jeremy's like, he's not going to die today. I'm like, how, what? Fucking theater is playing out here.
What did I get tied up in?
Anyway, I don't know why. Oh yeah, that's a story about how I never followed through with anything. I was in the Tiger Cubs, which is the precursor to boy or Cub Scouts.
When you're
in like kindergarten or first grade, and I shook Ronald Reagan's hand at the Republican convention. That was held at the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago. So that must have been 1984. When was Reagan our president?
He was 80 and 84.
So it was 84.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my dad hated it. My dad was, you know, diehard Democrat, but that was our little Tiger Cub outing was to go to the Republican National Convention. And out of a stadium full of people, they picked our six dirty asses to go on stage and hand little American flags to Ron and Nancy and George and Barbara.
That's adorable. So I was
on stage at the now called the Allstate Center or some shit.
Wow. How about that?
Never followed through. Never made it to Weeblos.
Young Republican Kyle Kinane.
Yep. Shaking. There's a picture in the newspaper somewhere. Picture of the Daily Herald of me. Me and old Ronnie R. Ronald Reagan in the midst of making sure black people couldn't hold guns.
Oh, boy.
Well, I guess that tequila got to me because I really went off. Started this episode yelling, ended it rambling. Sorry, man.
Hey, that's what we do here, buddy.
Dave, what special treat would you put in your bug out bag?
Special treat?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hostess Ding Dong?
Probably a really nice piece of cured meat, like a really good pepperoni stick. That'd be nice.
A good pepperoni stick.
Something that could withstand the elements.
I would do like good sour gummy bears.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That you just hold on to forever because like once I eat these, I'm either going to eat these because I survived. I'm going to eat these because I'm about to die and I want this to be the last taste in my mouth. That's how I eat meals already.
Dude, that's the story of my life. Eat every meal as if it's your last.
Do you eat your favorite flavor first in a meal or your favorite flavor last?
It's a trick question. They're all my favorite flavors.
But they're not going to be.
I love it all.
I'm going to give you a plate of Dave. I'm going to give you right now. I'm going to give you a plate.
Uh-huh.
Of your favorite ham that you've just recently discovered.
Okay.
Let's say cream spinach. So it's still good, but it's spinach.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going
to
give
answer your question. I like to build up. I go from least favorite to favorite.
I like how you just cut me out. Hey, I know where you're going with this. You eat your favorite flavor last. Same here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want it to get cold because temperature affects flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to end with like, man, that was great.
Yeah, it's like fat tantric, you know? Build up to it. Makes it better.
Fat tantric eating, the Dave Stone story.
Just take a bite. Don't eat it all. Don't swallow.
God damn. Just the concept of tantric eating is what I want to revisit every episode right now. I want to sit there and be like, hey, what did you enjoy tantrically? And tell it to me slow.
Uh-huh.
Talk to me the way you ate it. Like, well, I used a fork on the cream spinach. Because if you use a spoon, you just get a big old mouthful and it's not fun. But a fork just gives you little nibbles and nibbles and makes it last longer.
Yeah, that controlled the distribution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't just plunge it in. You kissed her neck for a little while. I feel like tantric eating is already a real thing somewhere. I feel like I think we're just discovering something that exists already. Or people do, but don't have a term for it. And here we are, May 11th, 2020. It's coined. Dave Stone got it. Tantric eating.
There you go. There you go. Well, I think we should wrap up on that. We got a comic of the week this week?
I'm going to throw it over to my pal, Nate Craig. He got a special called Preferred Customer. He's trying to take down the system from the inside or somewhere. But no, he's got the album came out, but he's got an actual special that's coming out on All Things Comedy and will be on, I think, Amazon Prime. And Nate's, I've always wanted to hate him because he's just a fucking handsome, confident dude. Like, he's an alpha male, and then meet him, and you're like, this guy's on our side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this if you didn't know him, you'd think he was just a handsome douchebag, but he's not.
You'd think he was a jagoff, but he's just a fun, silly putz who loves hanging out and being a jerk with his friends. He's great. He's got a new album that is great, and it's now a special on All Things Comedy called Preferred Customer. So Nate Craig, comic of the week. That's what I'm giving it to.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Nate. Good dude. Hilarious comic. So is that out yet? You think it's not quite out yet, but it's coming on Amazon Prime. You get a bounce?
Yeah, I forgot. I got Family Zoom.
Got Family Zoom.
Yeah, I got all Family right, Zoom. I gotta sit there while my mom still tries to figure out how Zoom works now, seven weeks into it.
Deb, have a good Mother's Day.
I think so. We got food delivered. I usually get flowers, and I do a silly thing with the card that's more to like freak out the people at the florist who have to write the card. Like I'll write it like it's a hostage note.
Yeah.
Like I'll send flowers, but it'll be like, make sure to bring the money to the docks by 5:30 or the kid gets it. Like, and I'll just have them. I'll make them write that on the note.
That's funny.
But I thought all floral shops would be down for the count with this. And then they weren't. They were open, but I didn't realize that until late Saturday. Mm-hmm. So we got them. We delivered. We got them some, my mom's favorite Italian place. We got them some dinner from there.
Oh, that's nice.
How'd your mom do?
That's a good gift. She's good. Yeah, I got her just some flowers. I just, you know, she's got everything she needs. So why not just have a sentimental gesture and just get her some old school flowers.
I just want to know that you're thinking of them.
Yeah, but she's doing good. She had a good day with my brother and sister-in-law, and they had a nice little meal, and my aunt lives up there now with them. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so my mom I mean, she does nothing but complain about her. But in reality, I know she likes having her sister nearby. So, yeah, aunt and mom and brother and sister-in-law, everybody just hung out yesterday and had a nice little Mother's Day. But, yeah, everything's well on the family end.
Well, that's good, man. That's good.
Well, good times, buddy. plug Hey Girl. That's Fridays.
Oh, yeah, I got my stuff. Honestly, if anybody's looking at the social media, don't look at Twitter for too long. I'm going to extract myself from that. Or I'm just, you know what, I'm just going to have somebody else in my life change the password. So that way I can just be like, I need this promotional thing put up, but I can't interact with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It just riles me up, and it's no good for me.
You need parental safety locks on your social media accounts.
I do, man. I need Drunken Kyle safety locks.
Right on, buddy. I'll plug my cookbooks real quick. Dave Stone's Kitchen Survival Guides, Volumes 1, 2, and 3, still available at dumbdavestone.com. One volume for 10, two for 16, all three for 20. Offer still stands. If you're hurting financially due to all this nonsense, holler at me, and I will hook you up for free. No big deal. And a huge shout-out to everybody who's donated money to that cause. I still am getting donations from people who have already bought the cookbooks but want to help subsidize the income I may or may not have lost from giving away for free. Again, they're just e-cookbooks. It's a PDF file. It's an email. What do I care? I'll be glad to send that to you for free if you need it. So just holler at your boy.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah. All right, buddy. We'll holler at you next week. You stay out of trouble. Keep your spirits high. And we'll meet again.
That's good for everybody. That's good advice for everybody.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're all right.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
The Boogie Monster. Podcast Network.